إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah, we praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, in this, our 26th session or 26th lecture in our series entitled Character and Manners in the Sunnah, based upon the hadith from the last chapter, Kitab al-Jami'ah, from Bulugh al-Maram. And previously we dealt with Bab al-Adab, and now we are completing Bab al-Birr wa-Sila. That is the sub-chapter related to good character, kindness, and joining the ties of relationship. The hadith that we want to discuss this evening is hadith number 29 in our series of those hadith that we have taken since the beginning of this course. This is the 29th hadith, 26th lecture. And this hadith is a very beautiful, simple, practical, beneficial hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the subject of this hadith is the excellence and the virtue of guiding others to that which is good. If anyone would reflect on this hadith and the meanings that can be understood from it, as it has been explained by the Muslim scholars, the ulama of Ahlul Sunnah, you will come to know the great importance of this hadith and the tremendous benefit that one can gain from attempting, making some effort to practically apply this hadith in your life every day. The hadith is on the authority of Abi Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, and in some of the texts of Bulugh al-Maram it says Ibn Mas'ud, and the correct narrator is Abi Mas'ud. An Abi Mas'ud al-Ansari radiallahu anhu qal, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallama, man dalla ala khayrin falahu mithlu ajri fa'ilihi. Akhrajahu Muslim. Man dalla ala khayrin falahu mithlu ajri fa'ilihi. In this hadith, it's reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he who guides to khayr, yani to something good, who guides others to that which is good, will have a reward similar to the reward of the one who acts upon it. And whoever guides or directs somebody to that which is khair, then they will have a reward that is similar to the one who acts upon their guidance. The hadith is reported by Al-Imam Muslim. As is our practice, before going into the explanation of the hadith, we'd like to quickly review the questions that are based upon the previous lecture and the previous hadith. The first question from the previous lecture, number one, mention some of the meanings of qurba in the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Mention some of the meanings. How did the scholars define qurba? If anybody knows some of the meanings, or any of the meanings, Naam Talib. Okay, something that caused sorrow to the heart. Sheikh Abdullah Ali Bassam mentioned this. That caused sorrow to the heart. Naam. What else?
Anxiety.
Anxiety, distress. Naam, shidda.
Severe difficulty, situation in which a believer is subjected.
Again, what kind of difficulties?
Severe
difficulties. Naam, that a believer may be subjected to. Naam. Jayid. Anything else? And in qurba, it means a person that is subjected to something that caused them to be in distress, difficulty, critical situation, a difficult predicament. The scholars said the meaning of it, as shidda al-azima, a very, very severe situation. Or al-dayqa, or al-da'iqa, yani tight, straightened situation. Naam. And as Shaykh Abdullah Ali Bassam said, yani the qurba is something that is, it concerns, it worries the person, and it causes their heart to be in distress, such that it's so severe that it is as though the severity of it caused their ability to breathe to become dysfunctional. Person can't breathe, it's as though they're being choked. And the meanings are many, and these are some of them. The second question mentioned the three main points from the hadith, yani the hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ said at the end, Allah helps his servant just as the servant helps his brother. What are the three main points that are mentioned in this hadith? One of them. Somebody give me one of them. Now, Abu Bakr?
Yes.
Now.
Feeding your brother when he's hungry.
Okay, feeding your brother when he's hungry. Yes. I mean, that's generally mentioned, but specifically, there are three specific things that are mentioned. Three specific. That's generally part of it. Now. But in the text of the hadith, there are three things that are mentioned. First.
Fulfilling his needs. Like
okay, fulfilling his need. Person who's in need, fulfilling their needs. Now. What's the first of them? The first of them.
Covering when he's naked.
Okay, covering one's faults. Now. What else? The first of them is that a person who is in distress, you relieve them of the distress. And the second of them is that a person who is destitute and they're in debt, and the person who they owe is coming to collect it and they don't have any means to pay it. So you relieve them of that burden. You remove the debt from them. And the third of them is to cover the faults of a Muslim. And all of these three things are matters that if a person reflect upon them, each one of us is in a position to help a Muslim in one of those situations, one or another. And it's incumbent upon us to do so if we remember the reward of doing so. Question number three, mention the general qaida, the rule or principle derived from this hadith. And Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, mentioned throughout his explanation of this hadith in every part of it, he mentioned the rule again and again and again. And Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan also mentioned it, or Shaykh Abdullah Ali Bassam mentioned it. What is the general rule? A rule that we discussed previously, that is derived from this hadith. Does anybody remember al-jaza'? Al-jaza'u min jins al-amali? We've forgotten that principle already. Wallahu musta'an. Al-jaza'u min jins al-amali. Yani that the reward that a person will receive for the deed that they do, the reward will be like min jins al-amal, will be like the deed that they did. Yani the person who covers a Muslim's faults, Allah will cover them. And the person who relieves a person who's destitute, Allah will relieve them. And the person who removes the distress of a believer, then Allah will relieve them from distress. Yani the reward will be like the deed that is done. Al-jaza'u min jins al-amali. A very important principle that if we reflect upon, we will come to know that whenever you do good deeds, try to remember that the reward for the deed will be like the deed you did. So the more good you do, inshallah, the more reward you receive. Question number four, mention two ways in which one may relieve the burden from the mu'asir, the destitute person. Two ways to relieve the difficulty, the burden of the person who is mu'asir, who is destitute. Two general ways. One of them, anybody? Person who's destitute, how can you relieve them?
By canceling
their debt. Naam. They owe you, just cancel it. Write it away. Khalas, you don't have to pay me. What's another way?
Give an extension.
Giving them some time. That's if they owe you. If they owe somebody else, then similarly, you might loan them some money to help them to pay it. Or you may take the responsibility for the debt. Tell them, I got it. I'll pay it for you. Okay? So that you either relieve the person of the debt by paying it or paying some part of it, helping them to pay it, or you give them time. Give them time. And this is based upon the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Baqarah, the second surah, ayah 280, وَإِنْ كَانَ ذُو أُسْرَةٍ فَنَظِرَةٌ إِلَى مَيْسَرَةٍ وَأَنْ تَصَدَّقُوا خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Yani that if a person is in difficulty, hardship, destitute, then give them some time until they're at ease and able to pay. And that you make it a sadaqah, وَأَنْ تَصَدَّقُوا, that you give sadaqah, meaning you write the debt away, cancel it completely, that's better for you. If you only knew. Question number 5. At-taysir, relieving the burden of someone mu'asir, destitute, is divided into two divisions. That which is wajib, obligatory, and that which is mustahab, commendable. Discuss the situation in which it is wajib. Yani relieving the burden of someone who is destitute. The situation could be where it is wajib to do so, or it could be mustahab. We want to know, what is the situation where it's wajib to relieve the person who is destitute? Now, the person can't afford, they don't have any means to pay it back. Then it's wajib, obligatory upon you to grant them relief in one of the two ways. Either to give them more time, as Allah said in the Quran, if a person is in difficulty, give them more time, then wait until they are in ease. Or to make it a sadaqah, cancel it. But it's wajib in this situation where the person is unable to pay. Question number 6. Encouragement to cover the faults of a Muslim is not mutlaq, absolute and unconditional. Explain, what do we mean by this? The Prophet ﷺ said, Man satara Musliman, satarahu Allah fi dunya wal akhirah. Whoever covers a Muslim, Allah will cover them in this world and the next. Is this covering, this encouragement to cover the Muslim's faults, is it mutlaq, absolute, unconditional, or are there some conditions? Explain, what do we mean that this it's not absolute, it's not mutlaq? What do we mean?
If a person is sinful, then they might be extremely sinful, then
okay, that's the general idea. But more specifically, if we say that it's not mutlaq, that means that there's some condition. What is not the condition of the person, the condition in which you should not cover the person? The rule is, Naam, Bilal?
Like a sin openly.
Naam. If he's committing a sin openly where you can see it. He's saying similar. Naam, similar to what he said. ولكن الناس لا يفهمون العربية فما هو الفائدة لا أحد يستفيد من هذا هذا يأخذ وقت أنت تتكلم بالعربية وأنا أترجم لك كلم الإنجليزية يا أخي أنت تعرف الإنجليزية قل بس يعني بالاختصار فضل 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 فضل
أي شيء يتعلق بحقوق الآخرين يجب أن يتعلق.
He says that if it's connected to the rights of people, to other people, then you should, and it's obligatory to cover them. Actually, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, said, if the covering of the person, if in covering them there's a what? If it brings about a maslaha, if there's a maslaha in the sharia, some benefit in covering them according to the sharia, then cover them. Wa illa fala. But if there's no maslaha, then don't cover them. That's the rule. The rule is that we are encouraged to cover the faults of a Muslim. But Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, is saying, if in covering them there's a maslaha, a benefit, the sharia tells us that there's a benefit to cover them, then we should cover them. And if there's no maslaha, then we should not cover them. As far as the further description, as the brothers began to say, this is what we want to discuss in the next question, that is mentioned briefly, the two categories of sinners, in terms of those whose faults or sins should or should not be covered. What are the two categories of the people who commit sin? In terms of whose sins should be covered and whose sins should be not covered. Now we're talking about the people. Now we're not talking about the condition now. We're talking about the people themselves. What are the two types of people? As brothers began to say already. Okay, so Abdul Halim.
The one that should be covered is the one who's known for good character. SubhanAllah, and first has repented like this, and he's seeking to...
Person known for good character, repented from their behavior, feel remorse for what they have done, trying to correct themselves. They're not known for being sinful and corrupt. And Naam. And the other one?
The other one is the one who
the opposite. The person, that's right. Who committed sin, he doesn't care about committing sins. He doesn't care what the people say to him about committing sins. And he's known for that. That's what he's known for. He's known for corruption, sin, filth, wrongdoing, disobedience to Allah. These are the two types of people. Naam. Allah does not like corruption and evil. And therefore, whoever covers the faults of the evil, corrupt people, it is as though you're encouraging them to do evil. And you are a cause, you become a cause for the spread of evil. Therefore, that person should not be covered. Tayyib. Last question. Mention the type of affair in which Allah will not help a Muslim who helps his brother in it. And what type of affair? If a person was engaged in an affair, we should not help them. If you help them in that thing, Allah will not help you for helping them. What type of situation are we talking about? Shirk, now definitely. But in general we mean. Not a particular sin, but in general. What type of thing a person is doing you should not help them in? Now.
Killing someone.
Okay, that's specific, but in general.
Doing harm, someone that's doing harm.
Yeah, in a thing that contains some harm or some evil. The thing that contains evil, that contains corruption, you shouldn't help your brother in that. Somebody tells you, I'm going to go stick up this bank, can you help me? No way. I want to sell some drugs, can you help me? No way. I want to commit some kind of evil, some corruption in the land, then you shouldn't help your brother in that. Because Allah doesn't give us permission to do such things, and therefore there's no way that He would help the one who helps somebody do that. But rather, we should help our brother or our sister in that which is good, in that which involves obedience to Allah, in that which is pleasing to Allah. SubhanAllah. Tayyib. The hadith that we want to discuss tonight, as I said, is the hadith of Abi Mas'ud. An Abi Mas'ud radiallahu anhu qal, qal Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man dalla ala khayrin falahu mithlu ajri fa'ilihi. Akhrajuhu Muslim. Yani whoever dalla ala khayrin, whoever directs, points to or guides someone to that which is khayr, good, then that person will have a reward, mithlu, like, similar to the reward of the one who does that good deed. This hadith is one of the hadith that we should memorize, if we have difficulty memorizing, because it's a short one, right? Man dalla ala khayrin, falahu mithlu ajri fa'ilihi. Few words. Man dalla ala khayrin. فَلَهُ مِثْلُ أَجْرِ فَاعِلِهِ. In another narration that's reported by Imam Ahmad and Tirmidhi and others, it's reported that the Prophet ﷺ said, what means the same thing but it's even easier than that. He said, أَدَّالُ عَلَى الْخَيْرِ كَفَاعِلِهِ. That's about half as many words. أَدَّالُ, the one who points, who guides, who directs someone, عَلَى الْخَيْرِ, to the khayr, كَفَاعِلِهِ. He is like the one who does it. He will be just like the one who does it. It's like you doing it. You guide somebody to khayr, and they do it. It's like you doing it, in terms of reward. And these type of meanings are many. The Shaykh Abdullah, Ali Bassam, rahimahullah, he says, he makes three points concerning this hadith. The first point requires some discussion. And the second and third point is yani brief. The first point, the Sheikh says, the mu'min, al-mu'minu, huwa alladhi yakunu qudwatan wa uswatan fi amal al-khayrat wa fi'l al-tayyibat. The mu'min, who are we talking about? The believer. So this is important to us, to know what is the believer, what is he like, what does he do, what does she do. The mu'min is the one who is a qudwa, an uswa. Yani a qudwa, an example, a model. One whose actions and speech you can take as a pattern of behavior. As Allah said in the Quran, لَقَدَ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. That indeed you have in the Messenger of Allah an uswa hasana, a good example, a good model, a good pattern of behavior. Yani for those who believe, for the believers. So the believer, like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the believer is the one who is a qudwa and a uswa, a model, an example in the doing of good deeds. وَفِعْلْ الطَّيِّبَاتِ يعني doing things that are طَيِّب. And that could be in worship or it could be in worldly things. It doesn't necessarily have to be ceremonial worship. But whatever good deeds that we do. Then he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Surah Al-Furqan. I don't remember the exact ayah. Surah Al-Furqan is near the end of the surah. وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ. He's talking about the characteristics of the Ibad al-Rahman. These ayats at the end of Surah Al-Furqan 25, Surah 25, are giving the characteristics of the worshippers of Allah. وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا. The Ibad al-Rahman are those who walk to the earth humbly, in humility. Until he came to this ayah, what he said from amongst those descriptions, وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ عَيُنٍ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ, yani those who they say, meaning they make dua, this is one of their duas, the Ibad al-Rahman, they say, our Lord, give us هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا, from our wives and our offspring, that which is the delight, the coolness of our eyes. Yani make our wives and our children pleasing to us. Yani their behavior is pleasing to us. This is the dua of the Ibad al-Rahman. Pray for our wives, pray for our children. Naam, akhi, what ayah?
63.
Surah 25, ayah 63. 63. Naam. And their second dua, in this ayah, وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا, and make us to be imams.
74.
Allahu musta'an. Okay, we'll check it inshallah.
63.
It's my fault for not looking it up. وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا, and make us, for those who are the people of taqwa, the pious and righteous people, make us as an imam. Make us to be an imam. What do we mean by imam? The one who leads the prayer? Not necessarily. We mean the person who the people follow behind. They follow their example. They are guides for the people. Models of behavior that the people follow. وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. And also the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Sajda. Okay, inshallah. Akhi, right? That's okay, inshallah. People can look for it. It's in Surah Furqan, inshallah. That'll be your homework. And the next one is going to be your homework also. In Surah Sajda. Surah Sajda. Surah 32. Where Allah says, وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا لَمَّا صَبَرُوا وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يوقنون وجعلناهم أئمة. And we have made them أئمة, imams. يهدون بأمرنا, guiding the people by our command, by the command of Allah. We have made them imams, guiding the people by our command. لما صبروا وكانوا بآياتنا يوقنون. That is when they were patient. And when they became of those who are certain, who have yaqeen concerning the ayat of Allah. These two characteristics, Allah is saying in this ayat, when they were patient, when they had the quality of patience and the quality of yaqeen, certainty about the ayat of Allah, then Allah made them imams for the people. I don't know, it's 32. 24. Allahu musta'an. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. طيب, just quickly, Sheikh Abdullah Ali Bassam, as I mentioned previously, studied under the same teacher as Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, that is Sheikh Abdurrahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'adi. And their teacher, Sheikh al-Sa'adi, he says concerning the first ayah, وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. The dua of the Ibad al-Rahman, that they say, make us imams for the people of taqwa. That is, cause us to reach, O our Lord, this very high level. Ad-daraja al-aliyah. Make us imams, this is a very high level. The daraja of the siddiqeen, the people who are truthful in speech and in action, and in testifying to the truth that the prophets and messengers came with. Al-kummal. Min ibadallah as-salihin, those who are complete and perfect from amongst the worshippers of Allah, the righteous. And this is the daraja of al-imama fid-deen. Al-imama fid-deen. What is this high level? It's the daraja of being an imam in the deen. A model, an example that other people can follow. In one's speech and one's behavior. And that person will be a qudwa, an example for the muttaqeen. In their speech and in their actions. That the people will follow them in their actions, and the people will be content with their speech. And the Ahlul Khair, the people of good, will move behind them, yani will follow them. Yani they will be guiding others, the imams, and they will be those who are guided. And the Shaykh goes on, and I don't know if we have time, but I should mention that he said, and it is well known, that the dua to reach something, to reach a certain level or to reach a certain goal, is a dua that includes whatever is necessary to reach that goal. Yani the Shaykh, he said it in a little bit technical language, and the dua bi bulug shay'in, dua bima la yatimu illa bihi. That means that if you ask Allah to be an imam, to make you an imam, that means you are also asking Him at the same time of necessity for everything that's necessary in order to be an imam. That means it includes other things that are necessary in order to reach that goal. That means you also ask Him for those things. Shaykh Abdurrahman al-Sa'adi, Allah have mercy upon him. Subhanallah. And this level is the level of al-imamah fid-deen, being an imam in the deen. This level cannot be reached except by al-sabr, patience, and al-yaqeen, certainty. And this is as Allah said, the Shaykh is saying here, as he said in the other ayat that we mentioned already, where Allah said, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا لَمَّا صَبَرُوا وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يُوْخِنُونَ. And we made from amongst them imams, guiding by our command, when they had the characteristic of patience, and when they had the characteristic of certainty, yaqeen, concerning the ayats of Allah. So this dua of necessity requires actions, deeds, al-a'mal, and it requires patience in obedience to Allah, patient, being patient to obey Allah and what He has commanded, and patience to refrain from ma'asiyah, from disobedience to Allah, and patience with whatever Allah has decreed that we dislike, that's painful to us. And it also requires that a person have a level, a high level of complete and perfect knowledge, which takes a person to the level of yaqeen. And this contains khayrun kathira, a lot of good, wa ata'an jazila, and much that has been given to the person who reached this level. And that person will be in the highest level that is possible for creatures, for human beings, after the messengers. This is a very high level, the Shaykh says, and because the person is very ambitious and seeking such a high level, then al-jazaa min jins al-amal. The reward is like the deed. If a person strives for that, then their reward will be high. And so Allah said concerning them, أُولَٰئِكَ يُجَزَوْنَ الْغُرْفَةَ بِمَا صَبَرُوا. Then these people will be given the reward of al-ghurfa, yani al-daraja al-aliya, a very high level in Jannah, because of them, because of their patience, in obedience to what Allah has commanded. They're patient with it. They don't get frustrated and say, I can't do that. But they're patient with it. They hold themselves in and they do it. What Allah has prohibited, they are patient in refraining from it. And whatever Allah decrees for them, of the painful things, of the decrees of disasters and calamities, they are patient with it. And Allah is the one who can grant such. And we can ask Allah for it. But it requires action. And the Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di also says, concerning the other ayat, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَحْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا, that we have made that from amongst them, and this ayat was revealed in reference to Bani Israel. Allah said He made from amongst the Bani Israel some people that will be imams amongst them. أَئِمَّةً يَحْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا, they will be guiding the people, imams guiding the people by our command. That is, these are the people who are the scholars of what Allah has legislated. The ulama, al-shar' of the sharia that Allah has given to those people, and the ways of hidayah, of guidance. They are scholars, they have knowledge. They are guided within themselves, and they guide others. They themselves are guided, and therefore they're able to guide others with the huda, the guidance that has been given to them. And then the Shaykh says, so the book that has been revealed to them is guidance. And the believers who believe in it from amongst them are divided into two groups. The imams, who guide by the command of Allah, and the followers, who are guided by them, when they are patient. The first of them, the imams, they are the highest level, after the level of the prophets, of prophethood and messengership. And that is the daraja, the level of as-siddiqeen. And they have achieved this level, this high level, by sabr, by patience, in seeking knowledge and in teaching the people. Patience in learning and patience in teaching. And patience in calling people to Allah. And patience with the harm that comes to them in the way of Allah. And they have refrained themselves from willfully engaging in disobedience and sin. And from allowing themselves to just letting themselves loose and doing whatever their desires call them to. And they are those who can be ayatina yuqinun, yani they were patient, and they are also those who have certainty about the ayats of Allah. That is, they have reached a level of iman in the ayats of Allah, that is the level of yaqeen. Their level of iman is the level of certainty. And that is al-ilm al-tam, al-mujib lil-amal. That is the knowledge that's complete, which necessitates a person to act. It doesn't allow a person that they have knowledge and they just do whatever they want to do. Rather, that knowledge requires a person to act upon it. That's different. Some people have knowledge, but they don't do anything. That's a different knowledge. This knowledge is the knowledge that necessitates that a person act. They live by it. And they reach this level of certainty because they learned the correct knowledge. And they entered into the issues with evidences that allow a person to have certainty. So they continued to learn the issues and the deen and to use as proofs and evidences and to find and utilize whatever yani they are presenting, they found yani evidences, dalil for it, until they reach this level of certainty. And the Shaykh closes, and we stop with this here. فَبِالصَّبْرِ وَالْيَقِينِ تُنَالُ الإمام في الدين. فبالصبر, it is with patience, واليقين, and certainty, تنال الإمامة في الدين, that a person is able to achieve the level of being an imam in the deen. Through what? Patience and certainty. الصبر واليقين. After this, the Shaykh said, Shaykh Abdullah ibn Salih Ali Bassam, rahimahullah, he said, and it came in the hadith of Sahih Muslim, the hadith of Jarir ibn Abdullah, radiallahu anhuma, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من سن في الإسلام سنة حسنة فله أجرها وأجر من عمل بها بعده من غير أن ينقص من أجورهم من شيء. And this is one of the narrations of the hadith, and other narrations are similar. من سن في الإسلام سنة حسنة, that whoever initiates is the first to proceed, يعني to go ahead of the people in executing some good deed that others may follow them in it. من سن في الإسلام, يعني something that's legislated in Islam, not making up new stuff, but it's legislated in Islam, and they're the first one who initiated, who took the lead in doing it so that others will follow them. فَلَهُ أَجْرُهَا, then he will have its reward for what he has done. وَأَجْرُ مَنْ عَمِلَ بِهَا بَعْدَهُ, and some of the narrations said, مِنْ بَعْدِهِ مِنْ غَيْرِ أَنْ يُنْقَصَ مِنْ أُجُورِهِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ, that he will have the reward for what he has done, and the reward for whoever acts upon what he has done, following him, after him, whoever comes behind him, doing it behind him, without their reward, the people who did it after him, without their reward being diminished in any way. من سن في الإسلام سنة حسنة. Something is legislated in Islam, be the first one, step up, lead the way, and let other people follow, and you will get the reward for what you have done, and the reward for what all of the people who come behind you do, following you, without their reward being diminished in any way. And this hadith requires a lot of discussion, and there's a beautiful explanation of it. It's not that long, but it's too long for now. Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, if anybody can look at the explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed by Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, the explanation of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen, has a good explanation of this hadith that clarifies the real meaning of it, but for the sake of time, we might not be able to discuss it tonight. Another time, inshallah. Shaykh Abdullah Ali Bassam, rahimahullah, he says, the hadith of this chapter, yani whoever directs or guides somebody to khair, then he will have a reward similar to the one who does it. He said, this hadith indicates that whoever directs someone to khair, no matter whether it is a good thing of worldly affairs, in worldly affairs, or it is a good thing in religious affairs, meaning something related to worship or something not related to worship, that he will have the reward similar to the reward of the one who does it, if he directs them to it, without their reward being diminished, and in any way, the reward of the one who follows him. And indeed, the reason for this reward is because that person has been a sabab. يعني هو أجر بسبب كونه قدوة في الخير وأسوة في العمل الإحسان في العمل الإحسان. يعني the reason he's getting this reward is because he has been an example in doing good. He has been a model in doing ihsan. So other people follow him. And because he is a model, an example that others follow, so this is the reason why he's getting this reward, or she is getting this reward. And the last point that the Shaykh makes, from the best of al-a'mal al-salihah, of righteous deeds, min afdal al-a'mal al-salihah, from the best of righteous deeds, and there's all kind of righteous deeds, right? The Shaykh is saying from the best of them, from amongst the best of them, whose benefit goes beyond the one who does it. Meaning, if a person does a righteous deed, sometimes it just benefits them. But there are some deeds, the benefit of it also extends to others. So from the best of righteous deeds, whose benefits also extend to others, and whose fruits or rewards remain, yani even after them, it is al-ilm and nafi', beneficial knowledge. الذي هو شرع الله تعالى من أصوله وفروعه وما عانى على فهمه. يعني from the best of righteous deeds that benefits others also, not only the person who does it,
and whose fruit remains afterwards, and it doesn't just die away, is al-ilm al-nafi', not any knowledge, beneficial knowledge. And what is that beneficial knowledge? It is the shara' of Allah, what Allah has legislated. And the Shaykh said, three aspects of that knowledge. Min usulihi, its foundations or fundamentals. Wa furu'ihi, min furu'ihi, its branches or secondary matters. Wa ma'ana ala fahmihi, and that which will help a person to understand Allah's sharia, what Allah has legislated. That which helps the person to understand what Allah has legislated. Yani, in other words, this knowledge is the knowledge, the usul of Allah's sharia, the fundamentals. That means the aqidah. That's the foundation. And the furu', that means the laws, the legislated laws, yani the fiqh. That's the secondary matters. And also what helps you to understand that. Like, for example, how can a person understand the aqidah of Islam that's in the Quran and Sunnah without what? Important tool, like what? Arabic language. Naam, how are you going to read the Quran? How are you going to read the hadith? How are you going to read the books of the scholars without tools? So there are three things the Shaykh said here. One, the fundamentals of the sharia, that is the aqidah, the foundation of Islam. And the second, the furu', that is the branches, the secondary matters, means the fiqh, the Islamic laws, legal matters. And the third of them, the other knowledge that helps you to understand the sharia of Allah. Naam, akhi. Is it an obligation to learn an Arabic language? I mean, that's something that we can discuss. I mean, it's, even if it's not an obligation, why would a person not learn it when the Book of Allah is revealed in Arabic language? I mean, if a person, for the sake of argument, wants to say it's not obligatory, if they want to say that, alhamdulillah, no problem. But why would a believer not want to read the Book of Allah in Arabic? Why do they want to read somebody's translation? Some English words that sometimes sound stupid. But if you read the words of Allah, the Kalamullah, Valuable. And time is against us at this moment. Allahumma sta'an. Not time, but I mean, we are running out of time. Tayyib. The Shaykh also says, after mentioning those three things, whoever has spread this knowledge, then he has taken a full share of Al-Qudwa Al-Hasana. وَالدَّلَالَةُ عَلَى صِرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. And whoever spreads this knowledge, he will get a full share of what? Of being a model, a good example, and of directing people to the straight path. And he has also, by the permission of Allah, brought the people out of the darknesses of ignorance. ظُلُمَات الْجَهْل. Darknesses, plural, of ignorance. And he has guided them to the nur of ilm, the light of knowledge, and hidayah, and rashad, guidance. And right, good discretion. Yani, by the permission of Allah, they have played a role in bringing people out of ignorance into the light of knowledge. And they have achieved, they will receive, due to this, a great reward from Allah the Most High. And the Prophet ﷺ says, at the end of what the Shaykh says here, Shaykh Abdullah Ali Bassam, لَأَنْ يَهْدِيَ اللَّهُ بِكَ رَجُلًا وَاحِدًا خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنْ حُمْرٍ نَعَمٍ. And I wish we can discuss this hadith in detail, but Allah might not allow. I mean, the time is short. The Prophet ﷺ said to Ali in a long hadith, in one of the battles, before the night of the battle, that he will give this banner to lead the army to a person that loves Allah and His Messenger. And Allah and His Messenger loves that person. And everybody wanted to get the flag, the banner, to carry it. So the next, all night people were thinking, who will it be? And in the morning, the people came. And as some of the scholars said, the people were even stretching their necks to make sure the Prophet sees them. Perhaps it will be me. And the Prophet looked, and he didn't see. He said, where's Ali? Radiallahu anhu. They said he's complaining of something wrong with his eyes. The Prophet said, bring him. And he spit into his eyes. Of course, asking Allah for cure. And he was seeing. And then he gave him the flag. And he said to Ali, Wallahi, لَأَنْ يَهْدِيَ اللَّهُ بِكَ رَجُلًا وَاحِدًا خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنْ حُمْرٍ نَعَمٍ. I swear by Allah that if Allah guides one person through you, it will be better for you than the red camels. And the scholars of Islam, they say the red camels was the most precious possession that the Arabs had. The most precious thing that they had. He said it will be better for you that one person, that Allah will guide one person. And Shaykh al-Uthaymeen said he didn't say, antahdi, anta. He didn't say that if you guided one person, that you will get such and such and such. He said that if Allah guides one person, because Allah is the guide. Allah is the guide alone. And this hadith also requires some discussion, but no time. So, after that, Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. One of the great scholars of today that we should hold in the highest esteem and respect, and we should listen to the words of our scholars, the people of Sunnah, and be careful, they will protect us from the difficulties and trials and hardships and fitan that we are subjected to every day. If you listen to the scholars, and Sheikh Salih Fawzan is living today, and he is teaching the people and guiding us and speaking and advising us on matters that we need to know about to protect ourselves. He said, this hadith is from Anwa' al-Birr, is from the types of birr, of righteousness, good doing, and that which guides to al-khayr. So if you see any way that contains khayr, yani any sabil, any avenue, any doorway that leads to khayr, if you see it, and you directed your brother, or to the sisters, if you direct your sister to that khayr, لِيَفْعَلَهُ, the Shaykh said, لِيَفْعَلَهُ, yani لِيَفْعَلَهُ, you direct them to it, with the intention, for the purpose that they would do it. Not for some other reason. Because people do things for different reasons, right? So the Shaykh here, in this little letter here, he is indicating to us that the intention is important here. Because this is great reward we're talking about. That means intention is important. He said, bring it to our attention in an indirect manner. لِيَفْعَلَهُ. That you direct them to something for the purpose of getting them to do it. To do the khair. In that way, you will be like the one who does it. And you will have the reward that will be like the reward of the one who does the khair. And this hadith also contains ta'awunun ala al-birr. And it also indicates that we should be in cooperation and doing good deeds and doing righteousness. Meaning, don't be by yourself. Be in cooperation. As Allah said in the Quran, وَتَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. That's a command. I order you to cooperate in birr and taqwa. Is that the adhan for you? We're going to stop for a minute, inshallah. Do you want to call it that? Oh, 1 minute. Tayyib. 1 minute. We still have 1 minute. Naam. So if you see a person who is muhtaj, in need, needy person, and you informed someone who has some money about the condition of that needy person, liyusa'idahu. Li yusa'idahu, for the purpose, with the intention that they help the needy person. You inform them about the needy person, not to talk about that guy over there is poor, miskeen. Not to talk about them, but you inform somebody who has money with the intention that that person who has money can help them. Maybe you don't have no money. So you inform somebody who has some money, with the intention to help them. Then this is pointing or directing somebody to khair. So if that person helps them, then you will have a reward like the reward of the person who helped them. And if you see from your brother, jahlan fi umuri dinihi, you see your brother has some ignorance about the matters of deen. He doesn't know about something. She doesn't know about something. and then you taught them some khair, and you taught them some of the matters of the deen, and then they stood upon it, they were upright. After you remove the ignorance and gave them something, then you will have the reward, like the reward of the one who does it. Now, and if you advise your brother to give sadaqah, or to perform qiyam al-layl, to pray in the night, or if we advise someone to make a voluntary fast, voluntary prayer, voluntary charity, then you will have a reward that is similar to the reward of that one who does so. And if we advise someone to seek the Sharia knowledge, al-ilm al-shar'i, yani the knowledge of Islam, of the Sharia of Allah, and that person learned it due to you advising them, then you will have a reward that will be similar to the reward of that person. فَلَا تَحْقِرْ مِنْ أَبْوَابِ الْخَيْرِ شَيْئًا وَلَوْ بِالْمُشُورَةِ وَالدَّلَالَ عَلَيْهَا. And the Shaykh, he closes by saying, so don't think insignificant of any of the doorways to khair, whatever it might be, even if it's just al-mashura, that you suggest or advise someone. I mean, they take consultation with you, they ask you for some advice, and you advise them, or you direct them to some good. We are in need of all of it. And finally, in the last few minutes, inshallah, before the salah, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, concerning this hadith, he says, this hadith is also from al-hadith, al-ahadith, al-azima, al-muhimma. That this hadith is also from those hadith which are tremendous, great, azim, and muhim, important, very important. Whoever directs someone to khair, any khair that it might be. However, when the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, فَلَهُ مِثْلُ أَجْرِ فَاعِلِهِ, that he will have a reward that is like, he will have a reward, an ajr, that is like the reward of the one who does it. We understand from that, or we came to know from that, that what is intended here is that it is a khair in the deen that a person will be rewarded for. Something that a person gets a reward for. Meaning it's something in Islam, if a person does it, they get a reward for it. That's what the Prophet ﷺ is talking about. Talking about whatever it might be in this deen that is rewardable by Allah, then this is what he's talking about. So whoever points to that which is good or directs to that which is good will have a reward similar to the reward of the one who does it. The Shaykh says here, وَالدَّلَالَةُ نَوْعَانِ. الدلالة, guiding or directing, is of two types. نوعان. Two types. Huh? How many types? Two. Either you will direct the person yourself to the khair. You yourself will direct them. For example, you will say, it is sunnah for you to pray two rak'ah of salatul duha in the morning. Anytime after sunrise until dhuhr. There's some specification, should be at least a little while, 15 minutes or so after sunrise, at least 10 or 15 minutes before dhuhr, any time between there. It doesn't have to be close to dhuhr, although some of the scholars said the preferable time is closer to dhuhr. But any time after sunrise until dhuhr, it's sunnah that you pray two rak'ah. You can pray two and two and two and two if you like, but at least pray two rak'ah. Or it is sunnah for you to end your night prayer, salatul layl, qiyamul layl, with witr. You tell somebody that you should end it with witr, odd number, three rak'ah, or one rak'ah, or five rak'ah, or seven rak'ah, or nine rak'ah. For example, or something like this. This is dilala mubashara. This is one type. Directing somebody, you directly directing them, mubasharatan, directly. Or dilala ghayra mubashir. The other type is that you direct somebody indirectly, meaning you're not yourself the one who guides them. The Shaykh says, such that you direct them to somebody who will direct them to khair. You direct them to someone else who will direct them to khair. For example, a person asks you about a religious issue that you don't know. So you say to them, ask so and so, someone from amongst the scholars. So this, in this way, you have directed them to somebody who will guide them. So what are the two types? Mubashir or Ghair Mubashir? That you do it directly, you tell them or give them some guidance, or you direct them to somebody who will give them some guidance. ثُمَّ أَنَّ الدَّلَالَ عَلَى الْخَيْرِ تَنْقَسِمْ إِلَى قِسْمَيْنِ. Next, the Shaykh said, guiding people, directing people to good is divided into two قسمان. قسمان, two قسمس, two divisions. It's divided into two divisions. دلالة بالقول والدلالة بالفعل. يعني that you guide or direct somebody by speech, or you guide or direct somebody by action. Two divisions, by speech or by action. So the people, they follow the guidance of some people from their speech. And they also follow the guidance from some people by their action. And perhaps the following of the people's by action is more than following speech. And we don't have time to go into it in detail, but think about it. Huh? They used to say, action speaks louder than words. And some people used to say when I was growing up, talk is cheap. I see some action. Huh? And the Shaykh said, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen said, perhaps the people following actions is more than following speech. Some people make good speeches, but they have no action. They're just talking, making noise, blowing hot air. For example, a person follows you when they see you making tahajjud in the night. Or they follow you when they see you helping a weak person. Or they follow you when they see you giving sadaqah to a poor person. They followed you and you didn't say anything to them. They saw you doing it and they followed your example. So this is considered directing the people. But it's directing the people by actions. And there's also the one who directs people by leaving, abandoning al-mahdhur. Yani something that's prohibited or forbidden. By leaving that which is forbidden or prohibited, you also guide people. So that you leave some shar, something evil, biniyatin salihah. And here again, the Shaykh here, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, is bringing to our attention what? The niyyah. He said, you leave something evil, not because the police is watching, or because your mother is around, or your father, or somebody that it would be shameful if they saw you doing it. Huh? But why did you leave it? Biniyatin saliha. With a righteous intention, for a good reason, for the sake of Allah. And then somebody other than you also left it, with this same intention. They saw you leaving it, they left it. This is also guiding people to that which is good, that you get credit for. So you will have the reward like the one who does it. Meaning like the one who leaves it. Somebody leaves it following you, they will get rewarded for leaving it. And you will also get the same reward. Then the Shaykh says, and we almost finished here, فَمِنْ فَوَاعِدِ الْحَدِيثِ. From the benefits of this hadith is الْحُثْ عَلَى الدَّلَالَةِ عَلَى الْخَيْرِ. From the benefits of the hadith is what? The encouragement to direct people to khair, either by speech or by action. Either way. And from those ways of guiding people to khair is the guiding of the khutbah, those who give the khutbah in the masjids. They guide and direct the people through their khutbahs. And also guiding the people, those who give the wa'adh, yani who give exhortations in the places where speeches or lectures or talks are given. Naam. Naam. Huh? And also the teachers in their classrooms, in the schools, Because they are teaching people and they are guiding people to khair. And the Shaykh says, وَأَبْوَابُ هَذَا كَثِيرَةٌ جِدًّا. أَبْوَابُ هَذَا, يعني the doors or the ways to this, guiding people to khair, are كَثِيرَةٌ جِدًّا. There are many. They are not limited to what we discussed here, but there are many. Search for them. Search for them. Allah is generous. وَمِنْ فَوَائِدَ الْحَدِيثِ, and also from the benefits of the hadith, أَنَّ الْأَسْبَابِ لَهَا أَحْكَامِ الْمَقَاسِدِ. We had this principle before. We said, الْوَسَائِلِ لَهَا أَحْكَامِ الْمَقَاسِدِ. Here the Shaykh is saying, أَنَّ الْأَسْبَابِ لَهَا أَحْكَامِ الْمَقَاسِدِ. That the asbab, the causes of a thing, takes on the same ruling as the end result. Yani somebody does something which is the cause of some good coming about, then the one who was the cause for it, they also get the reward like the one who does it. Al-asbab laha ahkam al-maqasid. So whoever directs somebody to khair, they are a sabab, a cause for good. So if the person does that good, yani somebody else does that good, then the one who directed them to it will get a reward like the one who does it. So this hadith indicates to us that al-wasa'il laha ahkam al-maqasid. Yani that the means to a thing takes on the same ruling as the goal or the objective or the end result. And likewise, in this case, he said, the asbab, the causes. And similar, the asbab and the wasail is almost the same. Yani what? The one who causes something or the means to it. In the other way that we express this rule. And finally, the Shaykh says, and this is where we're going to stop, وَمِنْ فَوَائِدَ الْحَدِيثِ, and from the benefits of the hadith and al-ajr, الْحَاصِلْ لِلدَّالِ لَا يَنْقَصْ أَجْرُ الْمَدْلُولِ, that the reward that will be achieved by the one who directs people to the good will not cause any decrease in the reward of the one who has been directed, the one that he has directed or guided. And this is based on the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, فَلَهُ مِثْلُ أَجْرِ فَعَالِهِ. So he will have a reward that is مِثْلُ, similar to the reward of the one who does it. And the Prophet ﷺ didn't say, فَالْأَجْرُ بَيْنَهُمَا, that the reward will be divided between them. He didn't say that. He didn't say, بين الدال والملول. Yani that the one who directs and the one who's directed, they will share the reward. Rather, he said, مِثْلُ أَجْرِ فَعَالِهِ, meaning that he will get a reward. That person will get a reward. He will also get a separate, independent reward that will be like the reward of the one who did it. So, based on this, the reward of the one who has been directed or guided will not be reduced by the giving of a similar reward to the one who guided them. It will not affect their reward. And the Shaykh closes, and even though there are some more points that are of great benefit, but we don't have time, the Shaykh closes by saying, وَفَضْلُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعٌ. Appropriate words to end with. وَفَضْلُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعٌ. The bounty of Allah is vast. Don't let any of it get away. Search for any means to do good and to direct people to good. To do good and to direct people to good. Directly or indirectly. If you can't direct them to good, direct them to somebody who can direct them to good. Direct them by speech, direct them by action. May Allah make us of those who are the doers of good, and that that good is not limited to ourselves, but extends to others. May Allah make us of those who are not just salih, but muslih. Not just the one who does good, but the one who makes other people to be good, who rectifies and corrects and improves the affairs of the Muslims. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If there's any question related to what we said, something that's not clear, we take maybe a couple of questions. If it's related to something that is not clear. Naam. Naam, Sadiq.
Encourages a person not to commit a sin.
Naam. Somebody who encourages somebody not to commit a sin. Yani tell them, don't do this. Fear Allah. Don't engage in that. Naam, of course. There's no doubt. There's a reward for them for the intention of trying to stop that evil. And there's a reward for them making an effort to actually prevent the person from doing evil. And there's more reward if the person actually listens to them and leaves that. And Allah knows best. Naam, Abdurrahim.
No.
Oh, okay, Naam.
Every chance you get, you should do good. Right?
Naam.
I was in a particular situation. Living in London, in non-Muslims, right?
Naam.
So you want to do a good, like feed the poor.
Naam.
What is the Amara Islam mean about that? Is it feed the poor in general, or is it specifically the poor Muslim food? Should they get that food?
Since we live in a non-Muslim land, and we want to do good, and we want to feed the poor, the feeding of the poor, is it limited to Muslims alone, or should we just feed people, anybody, even if they're not Muslims? That's the question?
You are in now, yes. just feed, you know what I'm saying? Let's see somebody that's secure.
Well,
feed them, or if you know that Muslims are needy, should you direct that?
Okay, now you're saying something else. If you know that there are Muslims who are needy, should you give it to the Muslims? There's no doubt that the Muslims have more right. There's no doubt, Akhi. There's no doubt that if there are 15 people in this building who are all hungry, and two of them are your children, and the other 13 are your neighbors, who has most right? Your children. I mean, there's no doubt about it. That doesn't mean that you don't care about the other people, but some people have more right. Okay? So, in feeding the poor, no doubt, the person who believes in Allah and who is worshipping Allah have more right than a person who doesn't believe in Allah and who is not worshipping Allah. But that doesn't mean that if a person is poor and they're not a Muslim and you are able to help them and feed them, that you shouldn't feed them. Did the Prophet ﷺ only feed the Muslims? Did he only give charity to them? Did he only help the Muslims? No, he helped people in general. Even though they were pagans. But as far as who has most right, no doubt, your family has most right. The Muslim has most right.
You should seek out
them. You should naam. You should seek them out. You know, you shouldn't just say, "Well, I don't know if there's any Muslims who are needy, so it doesn't matter." On the day of Eid al-Fitr, right? Should we just say, "Well, I don't know who the poor Muslims are, so let the Kafirs have this"? No, you should go. You have to look for the Muslims. You must. It's obligatory upon you. Look for the Muslims. Naam. Maybe the last question.
Even after you die, is that reward still going to meet you?
If you did something, what?
If you guide someone
to doing good. Uh-huh. And after you died and they continue doing good, will you get reward?
Yeah.
Of course. Of course. If you guide somebody to doing good and they keep doing good after you die, you're the one who guided them to the good, right? So you will continue to get reward. In one of the narrations of the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man sanna fil Islam sunnatan hasanatan, falahu ajruhu. أجرها وأجر من عمل بها بعده إلى يوم القيامة until يوم القيامة نعم until يوم القيامة نعم okay inshallah we'll stop here and